Blog Talk Radio.
BFI Radio.
Happy Saturday, everyone. This is Bridget Franklin. Welcome to another episode of Bridget Franklin Inspires. Today, we're going to be talking about something that a lot of people go through, and that is burnout. What people do not understand, you know, we talk about burnout when it comes to our jobs and our careers, but the bottom line is that there is a such thing as spiritual burnout, most definitely. We have all experienced burnout, you know, the inability to say no, we just keep going and going. There comes a time when you have to take care of you, and I'm learning that for my own self, you know, but people can tell me all day long to take care of myself, but until I do, I will keep going until my body and my mind shuts down. So I'm getting ready to bring in my brother, my comrade, my confidant, my big brother, Pastor Tyrone Tyson from Agape Baptist Fellowship in North Carolina. We have talked about this, you know, one-on-one. We've both been there, and I'm going to bring him in now. Hey, Ty.
Hey, Bridget.
How you doing?
I am chilling. I am blessed. I feel good.
Oh, good. How's the weather there?
Well, it's pleasant right now, but it's going to turn cold probably tomorrow, in fact.
Yeah, it's already cold here, and you know your sister does not do cold. I don't do cold. I have to move. I have to move. It's over. You know, me and the state, our relationship is over.
Well, let's move to Florida.
Oh, okay. Sounds good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the ticket. Sounds good. when I was putting out all the, you know, advertisement and promoting the show, I was telling everyone that today we were just going to do a 30-minute show because, you know, this is the last weekend before Thanksgiving. So mm-hmm. You and I are both very busy trying to, you know, get things done and, you know, get ready for family and get ready to eat. And get, you know, it's just kind of a time of year where we want to get with our families and love on them and have them love on us, especially with all the things that have been occurring here of late. But I still wanted to do a show because so many people have kept asking, you know, where are you in Tyrone? And I'm promising our listening audience right now that Tyrone and I will do better. We
exactly.
will do better, won't we, Ty?
Yes, we will.
Yes, we will. You know, ministry is a lot of work, and it's not glamorous, but it is rewarding. Amen?
Amen.
Huh?
You are
okay,
exactly
so I'm
right.
Yeah, and burnout, you know, we can both relate to burnout. We've both been there, and you have definitely, you know, heard me confide in you about, I'm so tired, and I want to quit, and I'm this, and I'm that, and I'm sure you have felt the exact same way, but, you mm-hmm. know, we are here today to encourage people to just keep pressing, and I hope we can get through all of the questions I picked four, and we're going to try to get to them. If we don't get to all four, then we'll just have to do a part two, and that's not uncommon for this show.
Okay.
So I'm jumping to the first one. It says, I've been in ministry over 15 years. I served my heart out with little to no recognition. Now I'm tired and thinking about leaving the ministry. Am I wrong to feel this way?
Whew, that is a issue that most pastors around that age, I say is in ministry, working in ministry, often feel around 10 or 15 years. You've been grinding and struggling, and you know, especially if you're in a small ministry. And I often tell pastors that this is a thankless job. And if you're in it
yeah.
for the thanks and for the appreciation, then you're in it for the wrong reason. And when it gets mm-hmm. to the point where you're that tired and you're that worn out and you're feeling unappreciated, you have to go back and look at why you're doing what you're doing. Are you doing
right.
it for the pat on the backs? Are you doing it for the coke and the smiles? Are you doing it for the smiles and everybody to love you? or are you doing it to please God? Because let's think about it. Jesus was on the earth for 3 years, and he served and gave his all, and no one said thank you.
No,
no one except
nowhere
for,
in the Bible.
No one except for one leper. One leper came back and said thank you. But no one said thank you. No one showed appreciation. No, even his 12 that he picked left him when he needed them the most. So if they did that to Jesus, what can we expect? So
absolutely.
You have to look at your priorities and look at, and again, when you're feeling that way, you got to take time for yourself because you're not Superman, you're not superhuman. You got to be able to take time for yourself, take time to recuperate. And I always say, you go in your office, you kick the wall, you cuss, breathe, recuperate, and come back out.
Did you say cuss? Did you?
Yeah, you got to let it out. Let it out.
All right, now, see, we keep it real on this show, okay?
Let it out.
Don't send me and Tyrone no crazy letters talking about we not saved. Because I know I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. But you know, it's true, you know, and then your body starts telling you and your mind, and it'll start shutting down on you, and you have to pay attention to the signs, and I agree, you have to really look at yourself. You have to look at your heart and say, okay, what am I really in this for? Am I in this, you know, for man? Or, you know, am I in this for God?
Exactly.
And it makes
exactly.
a big difference. It makes a significant difference. So I can just tell this person, I couldn't tell by their email address whether they were a man or a woman, and it doesn't matter. But just be encouraged. And the scripture that stands out to me is Galatians 6:9. It says, let us not grow weary doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. You know, and I stand on that scripture, my own self, aside from the fact that my dad gave me a scripture many years ago. He said, you know, you can't pick up the plow and lay it back down.
So
hold on to those two scriptures. One is comforting and one is a warning. But just hang in there and know that you are not in this alone. You gave some statistics on one of our previous shows where you talked about how many pastors write their resignation letters on Monday morning.
Yeah, exactly. Most pastors,
I quit.
Passing 10, 15 years, they got a resignation letter in their drawer. And it goes back to that text that you gave from Galatians. My pastor often would tell me, he said, you know, you have to understand that there's a difference. You get weary in the work, but you should never get weary of the work. And you have to recognize when you're weary in the work. And that way you won't get weary of the work. Because you don't want to get to a point where you're preaching or ministering from a place of bitterness, from a place of resentment, or a place of regret, or just, you know, drudgery, or, you know, a jaded feeling towards the ministry, because then you render yourself non-effective and you convey that hurt and that frustration on the people that you're ministering to. So you have to understand the difference. And when you get weary in the work, you take time and rest and recuperate and start all over again. And sometimes you may have to change scenery. Sometimes you may have to change what you do, you know, and you can't do it all in one day. So, you know, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon.
Yes, amen and ouch. Tyrone gave me that same advice not too long ago when, you know, I called him up. I want to quit seminary. I'm tired. I'm worn out. And he said, this is a marathon. It's not a sprint. You know, because sometimes we put too much pressure on ourselves in ministry.
Yeah.
We think we have to do it all. We think we have to be there every time the door is open. And that's not true. That is not true. Okay, so be encouraged, my brother, my sister who submitted the question. I pray that you are on the line. There's several people listening in, and I pray that you are one of them. God bless you. Now I'm going to move to number two. It says, I've been running a nonprofit shelter for women on the streets with little to no help. The banks have said no. The churches have said no since I'm not a tither. Then they have in parentheses, I don't get that at all. my husband and I have been keeping it afloat, but I'm tired. I hate to turn my back on these women. I need encouragement. Thanks in advance.
Whew, okay.
Yes.
Can
now,
you first time again, she said she's not a tither. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. And she's running a shelter for women, a nonprofit shelter for women. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, obviously she has a passion for what she's doing because this is a nonprofit, so she's not, you know, there's not going to be any, you know, real money to be made in this, so there's a service aspect to this. And,
mm-hmm.
again, with anything like this, you're giving of yourself. You're giving of yourself. But she has to remember there's only so much of herself to give. Okay,
mm-hmm.
so
mm-hmm.
when you're in running a shelter like this, or any kind of organization like this, and this is kind of a little bit different from the church, but if you're running something like this, that's when you have to find like-minded people that you can spread the wealth and spread this passion out, so it won't become from one center source. In other words, she may want to form a board. A board of directors or a board of trustees that she can lean on and use their expertise in different fields. That way it won't
mm-hmm.
all be on her. Many times
yeah.
when we have a dream and God gives us a dream, we try to, we take it and just say, okay, this is mine, and I'm going to do it all by myself. And you may have to at times, but, you know, everybody needs help, and you need to learn how to you know, network and spread out your skill set, people, so
mm-hmm.
it won't fall on you so hard. That's about the church, you know, the church aspect. Since she's not a tither, I have to question why she's not a tither. You know, that,
mm-hmm.
that's a big question
mm-hmm.
with me. And then what, you know, what church she goes to, and you know, where her worldview is on that. But that's the best advice I can give her.
Yeah, you know, I agree. It's just to, you know, try to explore all your resources. It's hard out there with businesses for profit. So it's even rougher for businesses that are, you know, nonprofit. But
mm-hmm.
we're going to give you the same encouragement that we gave the last person, is that, you know, you're doing this from your heart. Obviously, this is your passion. So
mm-hmm.
just be encouraged. And just because, you know, you're not having any assistance today, that doesn't mean the Lord won't open doors for you later on down the line. You know, maybe the Lord is using this as an opportunity to draw you closer to Him.
Exactly.
And, you know, when it comes to the tithing aspect, I'm with Tyrone on that, because the Word does tell us that we are supposed to tithe. So just
mm-hmm.
be encouraged and just keep on, because there are people depending on you, and you are touching so many lives that you don't even realize how many lives you are touching. So we're just going to tell
exactly.
you to be encouraged.
And I would
like
say
we
this
have a
also.
Question. Oh, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. Well, I would say this
no,
also, you know, I really believe in planting seeds or sowing seeds where you have been blessed. And if
mm-hmm.
she's running a shelter for women, and I'm sure she has many success stories from that shelter, and if I were her, I would go to those women or those people that have found success through her, and, you know, and solicit them, and, you know, and solicit them to donate and to support, you know, the ministry that saved them. And I'm sure she will find
right.
a great response with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So that's
I
another,
agree.
That's another avenue.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope she's on the line and she got those words of wisdom from you, Ty. I appreciate that, because those are some really good ideas. I see here is the area code 701 that has a question. I'm getting ready to unmute you right now. Yes, area code 701, you have a question?
Good afternoon. How are y'all doing today?
Good afternoon.
We're doing fine.
This is the first time calling in. I want to kill a rumor about, you know, you just said, ma'am, about if you're being out where we're well doing. And my roommate, so I've been hearing a lot, that if you've been called by God to preach the word, it's all good. Everything is going to go your way. Not happening. And there are a lot of people out there who actually teach and preach that. I have been in a ministry for almost over nine years now. And I know that me being unemployed steadily for 6 months, it has taken a toll on me personally. But I thank God for my wife being the main breadwinner of the family. And as a male, I have been the need and want to work. And I thank God for temporary jobs, so I'm still looking for a full-time employment as we speak. But I actually got a call yesterday from FedEx for outage of great benefit. I thank God in advance for the opportunity to have the interview by them.
But amen.
People saying you've been called by God to preach, oh, if there's going to be peace and, you know, you're going to have it your way all the time, God's going to bless you thoroughly. But I believe in God's blessings, but sometimes he puts it to a test to see if we're faithful to him. I have cried many nights because I haven't had the perfect position at certain jobs. I have laid up late at night wondering, God, what's going on? I mean, I've been looking out at my sleep, pacing the floor, if I was a sound sleep, asking God, God, what are you going to do? You know, I want to work. Thank God for what he's taking us here and there. But when you're unemployed for 6 months, after working for so many years from work, he personally, it actually hurts. And I'm not saying to say, I've literally cried tears of sorrow, of pain, before they had become tears of joy. Because God said to me, you're being faithful over a few things. If you wait on me, I'm going to be faithful over a lot of things. That's not talking about it. Hey, that's right here on earth right now. Because, I've been flying online and in person for different jobs. I may not be qualified for them, but I'm willing to learn new things. You know, I took my CDL commit three weeks ago. Everybody I talked to, they either want to have experience or none at all. Or if you don't have experience, then we can't train and hire you. But, you know, it's just the fact that I want to learn. That's good enough for God. Because he sees me and I have a fixed attitude towards him, and I'm not going to give up looking for work. And I'm not like, I'll always look for something else. You know, I was jacking it out of people's money. So I can't live like that because God has overturned me as a new life to be a blessing and not a curse. But those who are looking my way, I want to be a life for God. You know what I'm saying? And I don't need to get along with it, but I just thank God for now. I thank you even more for what God has happened in my life, my family's life. You know that video, Pastor. You know that. But I thank God for his faithfulness to me as a person, as his child. You know, I've been called to preach the gospel. That my life has gotten a lot harder than when I was in the world. You know.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely, and you know, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I wanted to interject something. I wanted to interject something very important. One thing I realized that once I accepted my calling to the ministry, that's when the devil came out swinging. Okay, the devil never wants to bother an empty house. Okay, so once you accepted your calling, it was on. The battle was on. And what it is that now you have to hold on to your faith. Now, Tyrone, you've been preaching for years. You've been pastoring for years. Am I telling this man the truth?
Yeah, and let me clarify a little more. Many times when God has given you a calling, many times, and I'm going to be truthful, which is not so much the devil as it is God. Because what we see now, especially in this modern-day religiosity of the Western, you know, hemisphere, where you see churches popping up all over the place and these ministries and, you know, one church in two locations and all this kind of stuff, and people see the success of certain people and say, okay, well, God's given me a calling. This is what I expect to see, okay? But God says, okay, well, I see you have the desire, but do you have the determination? You want the prosperity, but do you have the passion? And so he will test you. And by testing you means he equips you, and the only way he can equip you is by taking you through the valley experience, when you go into the Army, they don't put you straight on the front lines and give you a company or platoon to lead until you have been through basic training. And basic training is designed to break your will so that you're more pliable to the will of those that know more than you. And what God has to do sometimes is break you down and to the point where you say, okay, this is not me. I can't do it by myself. I don't know how it's going to work. I know what God has told me to do, but I don't know how I'm going to do it. There's no facilities. There's no funding. There's no resources. So you have to lean totally on God. And as long as you feel like you can do it in yourself, then you're in the wrong place. So sometimes, many times, before God can really give you your dream and put you in your place of destiny, he's got to break you down and see where your desire really is. And what we find most of the time is that we have the desire, but we don't have the determination to do it. But I see this brother, he is working for it. He is ready to suffer. And Paul told Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier for the Lord. And when it says endure hardness, that is a real statement. Pastoring is a hard thing. We can look at Jakes and Jones and all them guys. Yeah, they're doing great. They have wonderful, beautiful lives. But there was a price to pay for that. There was a price to pay.
Oh yes.
Now,
we don't see
price
them at
for
home.
That matter of success.
That's right. And we don't see behind the scenes. We don't see at home. We just don't. And there's two sides. To every story. It's kind of like T.D. Jakes said. People want all the glory, but they don't know the story. There's a big price to pay for that, and you have to, resolve within yourself, am I willing to go all the way? But this young man, he don't have a problem with it, does he, Ty?
He's got a good mindset. He's got the right mindset. And I would just say to him, hold on. Just hold on. Tie that knot at the end of the rope. And just hold on. And listen, one thing we have to understand is that we have to keep a spirit of expectancy. I wake up every morning and say, God, I'm wondering what you're going to do today. I'd be looking for stuff to happen and say, okay, I'm in a bad situation. Okay, I get excited. That's why when people say, how you praise God, you're going through some mess like this. Because I know if I'm going through some mess, that means God is getting ready to do something. I don't know when it's going to happen.
Yes.
I don't know how it's going to happen, but I know it's going to happen.
Absolutely.
And so you have to keep a spirit of expectancy and keep a spirit of praise and keep a positive attitude and keep your faith in God. And don't go by what you see, but go by what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest thing.
Amen.
Don't go by what you see. Go by what you believe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, and good luck to you, brother. God has been taking care of you and your wife all this time, and he's going to continue. So just keep pressing on. Like I said before, you are not in this fight alone, not at all. And thank you for calling in for your testimony. I mean, that was refreshing. I thought we were getting ready to have some church here for a minute there. I was like, wait a minute, hold up now. But
when we're in ministry like this, we have to look at it kind of like when you look at the children of Israel in the Old Testament. They were up and down. They were up and down. They would do good for a while, and they would be down for a while. In ministry, the same way, you could be riding high in ministry on this year, and next year you can't pay the mortgage, And if you can't operate in those hard times, then God is certainly not going to give you the good times. He said, I can't give you this. If you can't operate with a little bit, I'm not going to give you the lot. So we have to learn to be thankful and to be efficient and be, just thankful and prayerful when we have a little. Because if you can handle the little, then you can handle the much.
Absolutely. I pray all the time, Lord, help me to be a good steward of the blessings you've given me. Help me in that manner, because that is so true. It is so true. Okay, we're going to try to squeeze this one more question in. We got a little over 5 minutes left. It says, I'm on too many committees and serving too many ministries. My problem is I can't say no, especially if my pastor asks. If I say no, am I being disobedient? Ty?
No, you're not being disobedient. There, I preach a sermon called There's Deliverance in the Word No. Okay? And let me tell you this. I did it. This is deep. The devil has a strategy. Okay? The devil has a strategy. If you're saved, he can't get you unsaved. But what he can do is bog you down. okay? And what the devil will do is hang stuff on you, okay? It's the Bible says, you know, let us get away from all the sins and sins that easily beset us, okay? He hangs stuff on you, and stuff is not necessarily bad. Okay, you are called to be a Sunday school teacher, but now you're on the choir, now you're an usher, now you're church secretary, now you're on this committee, over that committee. All that other stuff is not bad, but it's not what God wants you to be. God has designed you for a specific calling. You need to know your calling, and you need to follow through with that calling, and everything else falls to the wayside. You focus in like a laser on what God has called you to be so you can be efficient. When you get too much stuff, you're not being efficient, okay?
Yeah.
So that's very important. And we have that happen in lots in church because we have people that are very, you know, they want to work and they want to help, but then they help so much that they become ineffective.
Right. And gripey.
Yeah.
You know, and irritable and mad because, you know, I've learned, like, even on my job, you know, the more you do, the more people will put on you because we are still dealing with a lot of imperfect people. You know, and a lot of times people serving in the church is very scarce. You know, people will come and they'll sit there and they'll enjoy the heat in the winter and the air in the summer, but they won't be there to clean the church. They won't come to cut the grass, you know, and so you only have a handful of people that will do things like that. And some of those people are stretched out very thin. Yeah. And, you know, Tyrone, you had to talk to me about stretching myself out too thin between, you know, my job and my business and ministry and seminary. And people come to me, do you want to be in the choir? I was like, no, you'll be good in the kids ministry. No. Because I knew. Because I'm already overloaded as it is, you know. So I'm like, no, you have to have your boundaries. And like my mom said, even iron wears out. Even iron words out. So I'm in agreement. I don't feel like you're being disobedient. I feel like you are being wise. And if you're ineffective, then it's going to pose another set of problems.
Yeah, exactly. And as a pastor, we tend to rely on the people that we can depend on. And we tend, because we're human, to take them for granted and say, okay, we got Sister Susie here. She's dependable. She's always, you know, does whatever I ask her to do. So I'm going to ask her to do this. I'm going to ask her to do that. I'm going to ask her to do this. Ask her to do that. And before you know it, you want Sister Susie out because she wants to be obedient and be helpful. So that's when a member helps the pastor. I say, Pastor, I would love to do this for you, but I can't because I want to focus in and do well on this one thing that you've told me to do. And the pastor would appreciate that. He would appreciate that.
Right.
So you have to learn to say no. You know, can you do this? Nope. Can I have this? Nope. can I go here? Nope. Learn to say no. Nope.
Yeah. Can you be here?
Nope.
And I had to learn that, you know, being in seminary. I had to learn that.
To look at something else, you know.
Yeah.
You got to be effective. Like, you can't do everything.
Yes, so be encouraged and learn the power of saying no, as Tyrone said, because it is a ministry. I think it's a ministry of no. Is there a ministry of no, Tyrone?
Deliverance and no, child, there's deliverance. You need to tell your family no sometimes. Can I call? No. Can I come by? No. Mama, can I come back and stay? No. Can I have some money?
Yeah.
No.
No.
And
feel good about it and sleep good on top of that. Feel good and sleep good. Well,
and just like right now, I'm in Charlotte right now. We decided to take a little small vacation because I've been, in the last week, in the last 10 days, I preached about 8-9 times. And so I'm wore out. So I took a weekend off. We're down here in Charlotte. We're going to go to the football game tomorrow. I'm going to take my wife out to eat. And I know there's going to be something that she's going to want. And I'm going to say no.
Well, on that note, I need you to pray us out. I need you to pray us out because we're going to get cut off. And then
I'm
going to get you when you get off this line. Go ahead, Ty.
Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, for what you're doing. We thank you, Father, for this ministry. We pray, Father, for the young brother to call them. Father, we pray right now that you just open the door in his life, Father. Just move in a miraculous way, Father. Honor his faithfulness, Father, and his passion for what you've given him to do, Father. We speak blessings on him and prosperity on him, Father. And we speak blessings on all of our listeners, Father, and even on Bridget right now, Father. Open up doors in her life right now, Father, that she may see you for your greatness and see you for who you are, Father. And we thank you right now, Father. We pray for those that are suffering from the attacks of terrorism, Father, in Paris and Nigeria and, Father, in Mali. And, Father, we pray right now that you just bring peace on this earth right now, Father, that you, God, may be glorified. And we thank you right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening in. And be on the lookout for the next episode of Bridget Franklin Inspires with my brother so much, Pastor Tyrone Tyson. Have a good evening,
Bridget.
Everyone, and happy Thanksgiving. Love you too, Ty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.